Thank you, Dr. Phillips. I worked in cooperation with Dr. Barco and Brennan Booker to conduct a study on citrus-based prediction of cotton growth and leaf nitrogen. Just to do a little brief background, what we looked at, nitrogen is definitely one of the most limiting factors in cotton production. We have very, very high costs that are permanently linked to energy costs, quite volatile in the past few years. Deficiency is definitely going to limit your yield and lower quality. The main problem, however, is going to be an excess in nitrogen. It's going to increase rank growth, boll rot, difficulty in harvesting, and increased need for growth regulators, insecticides, and foliants. Each one of these things is going to definitely affect your bottom line. So one possible solution for this may be variable rate nitrogen. Variable rate nitrogen has the potential to increase nitrogen use efficiency, and hopefully by reducing the amount of nitrogen applied, also reduce environmental pollution. So it's easy to say that we need to apply nitrogen variably. How are we going to do so? Well, one way would be crop reflectance to measure variability in nitrogen. Currently, we believe it is a good measurement of nitrogen variability, and we have previous studies that definitely concluded that reflectance values can monitor nitrogen concentrations in cotton and serve as a basis of nitrogen management. If we look at the nitrogen content of leaves, this is going to be directly correlated to the 550 nanometer wavelength, and this is what we're going to be utilizing in this study in GNDVI as opposed to NDVI, using near-infrared and the 550 wavelength. Instead of just looking at spectral imagery, we're going to look specifically at ground-based sensors, as previous authors have done. And we also have research that has established ground-based sensors can provide real-time nitrogen cotton status, cotton nitrogen status, and we can fertilize off of these readings. However, we need a more thorough understanding of the relationship between cotton canopy reflectance and cotton growth. So the objective of this study was to examine the effectiveness of a ground-based sensor to predict cotton plant growth and cotton leaf nitrogen. Just to look at where we did this at, we were in Starville at the Plant Science Research Farm, Mississippi State, Mississippi. This is a randomized complete block design with four treatments, four replications. These were large plots. Each plot was 12 rows, 125 foot long, on 38 inch row spacing. And we had four subplot locations where we focused our sampling at. Now for treatments, we chose 0, 40, 80, and 120 pounds nitrogen applied. For two reasons. The first one was to reach and exceed the agronomic optimum for nitrogen, and the other was to maximize the differences in leaf percent nitrogen and plant height. We applied these at a split application, 50% at planting and 50% at early square. We knifed these in as 32% UNs. Culturally, this was a no-till field. We did have it on beds. We planted 445 each year we did this test, and we did not apply growth regulator. We used nitrogen as our growth regulator. We managed weed and insects to minimize their influence on the reflectance values. So each sensing day, as we called them, we would drive the YRN sensor over rows 6 and 7. And we'll see the viewing angles here in a minute, but that allowed us to sense rows 2, 3, 4, 9, 10, and 11. At each one of the sublocations, which we had four per plot, we would measure five plants and also harvest five leaves. Each one of these samples was, as far as leaf sampling, was we ran percent in on them. And then immediately prior to defoliation, we took meter samples and again ran percent nitrogen to get total biomass nitrogen. Now, we sensed almost continually throughout the summer every week, but the six dates that I'm gonna point out today that will give us a good idea of what's going on here are early square, early flower, and peak flower in both 08 and 09. And this is a brief overview of our sensor. We're using the YRN sensor. This is a tractor-mounted spectrometer. Although it says five wavelengths, we're actually using 20. We're recording 20 wavelengths, and again, utilizing the 840 and the 550 for GNDVI. We have four optical inputs, four reflectance inputs. one irradiance. The irradiance is located underneath the Trimble unit, as you see there. And each of these reflectance feeds into the spectrometer. It's one sensor closer to the center. Depending on the height of the sensor, we're looking at 50 to 100 meters squared per second. And the bandwidth is roughly plus or minus 5 nanometers. So this is a pretty good image of our viewing angles. This, as you can't really tell on the screen, but what we're looking at on the left is a rear view of the tractor. And we're going to have these angles coming off of both sides, roughly between 58 and 70 degrees, the angle the sensors are going to be looking at. And to the right, we have an above ground, above shot of the sensor. And we can see how it's V-ing out, and there's two circles. And depending on the height of the sensor, we're going to be, again, looking at 50 to 100 meters squared. So I'm sure that most of you are all too familiar with the rainfall data from 08, especially 09. We graphed here the rainfall relative to planting, nitrogen application, and sensing dates. Planting date, you can definitely see we got significant rainfall events. I'm going to focus on the nitrogen application. The black bars are going to be your rainfall events. We have significant rainfall after both nitrogen applications. That allowed the nitrogen to move down into the root zone and become available for our plants. This resulted in relatively consistent correlations between sensing dates from year to year. However, 2009 was not nearly as cooperative. We had a dry year to begin with and an extremely wet year to finish. Luckily, our sensing was mostly completed before we got to the extremely wet part, but I would like to point out the second red bar, which would be our second nitrogen application. After we applied nitrogen, we did not have rainfall for almost 4 weeks. This caused the reflectance. Our graphs had very poor correlation until after early flower. Early flower, the week of early flower, we had significant rainfall events, allowed that nitrogen to move down, and from there on out, we had significant correlations, more what we would have expected. Just to show you what we're looking at here, fertilizer rate, we graphed that versus total nitrogen uptake. We wanted to make sure that obviously, the more nitrogen we apply, the more the plant's uptaking. And you can see there's a very strong correlation, 0.95 here. This is the graph that shows us we're definitely meeting and exceeding the agronomic optimum for nitrogen. For simplicity, we can just say it's roughly around 80 right in here. It's actually probably going to be closer to 75, but 120 is definitely actually going to be lower than 40 as far as our yields go. And I would like to point out our range here. We're looking at somewhere between 700 and 1,000 pounds per acre of lint yield. We left about 300 pounds on the ground, hard lock, this year. And you can definitely see that in the 2009 data, our range has decreased by 300 pounds. But we're keeping that same curve, the same shape. And again, our 80 pounds is going to be the very close to our agronomic optimum, on 120 being far exceeding. So if we start looking at the GNDVI versus the leaf nitrogen, percent leaf nitrogen data, at early square in 2008, we see a very poor correlation. We don't have very much of a range here between roughly between 4.5 and 5.0 as far as our line goes. This is what we typically see. 2009, however, had a stronger correlation, and we actually do see in both years a slight separation in the treatments. We're guessing these would be the lower nitrogens on the bottom left part of the screen, but we still see a real tight a cluster. We're not seeing the other treatments separating out just yet. For 2008 and 2009 early flower, again, let's start with 2008. We're seeing that the plots definitely separate out more. Excuse me. We're seeing the plots separate out more, not quite as clustered nearly as much as they were, and we're seeing a significant range here. 2009 early flower, again, we're predicting that the reason that we see this poor of a correlation was the lack of available nitrogen in the root zone at the time before sensing. A correlation of 0.08 is not typical of early flower. Most of the time we're seeing much higher correlations as we saw in 2008. So if we look at peak flower, we're seeing our highest correlations at peak flower. We're definitely seeing a significant separation of treatments here, and a decent high range also of our lines. We actually combined the 2 years, and we'll come back to this graph. I'll mention again in conclusions, but I would like you to notice we have a correlation of 0.86, and this is across the 2008 and 2009 growing season concerning percent leaf nitrogen and GNDVI. So if we move on to plant height, we're having a strong correlation at early square in both 08 and 09. We have a significant range in both years. We do have a slightly taller crop in 2009, and I'm not really sure why you would not maybe guess that. 2008 and 2009 early flower, again we saw high correlation, more separation of treatments. And I would like you to notice the 2008 correlation of 0.83. 2008 at peak flower, we actually had a decrease in correlation, and I'm not sure why that occurred. That's not typically what we see. Typically, we would see increase throughout the growing season. But again, we can see a significant separation between the treatments and a very tight fit line at 2009, which would be more of what we would expect. So in conclusion, I'd just like to say GNDVI was most strongly related to leaf nitrogen beginning at early flower. There were strong relationships between GNDVI and plant height for all measured physiological stages. GNDVI correlation with leaf nitrogen and plant height improves through to peak flower. And the consistency across growing seasons definitely supports the utility of this measurement, as we saw in the combined graph earlier. With that, I'd like to take any questions. Dr. Bronson?
Or a comment. Yeah, I know your environmental study is very different from West Texas. It's remarkable how a lot of the trends are so similar, especially the correlation between men. The whole story that you can get the correlation in peak bloom is kind of like apply in there. Then also understanding why, what sets for not getting correlation that you might expect. And the audio was shown in many cases, if you looked at plots and you looked at biomass or leaf bend, if you didn't see a lot of structure to that treatment related to your end treatments apart from the NDVI, then that's when you get the weak relation to NDVI.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Any other questions? Leo?
I know people get sarcastic, but it'd be great if somebody could, we had an idea of the structure.
All right. Thank you, Tyson.